What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Avery.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that dog was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is my first friend group ever. I'm Mike, that's Tommy.
Hello everyone.
Kevin is not here, but welcome to the Quiet Air Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back. Kevin is a Philadelphia Phillies fan, and in pure Kevin fashion, just decided to fly to San Diego as the Phillies play the Padres in the playoffs. This is baseball, if you're not from the U.S.
A couple thoughts. First, he is going with a Padres fan, and so this will be fun. The fan is from like California. It'll be fun for him. And two, I wholeheartedly support this.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think it's perfectly acceptable. Obviously, wish Kevin were here. I know he's never going to listen to that, so he'll never hear that compliment. But I support it. And if the Phillies end up playing the Astros in the World Series, maybe we'll try to get tickets to Houston. Not for the game. I mean, like bus tickets to go and be out to the stadium, because I'm not paying $2,000 for a fucking ticket. So
wow.
What's the most you would like pay for like a sporting event in person?
Oh man, not a lot. Like 150.
150 is not that much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I don't know. It like being there to witness like the championship is just, I don't know. It's not a, like, I don't have a strong affinity for that. Like if my team wins, that's great. I don't have to be there to see it.
So I was looking literally just before we were recording, I was looking up Blink-182 tickets for when they come to Dallas. And it was on StubHub, whatever. It was Ticketmaster. Anywho, it's $135 for like nosebleeds for the cheapest. I'm like, you know what? I've seen Blink-182. I don't think I need to see them again for $135 a ticket.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think if it was under 100, I'd pull the trigger. And then, but for a sporting event, World Series, 250, 300, maybe a ticket. Like for myself, like going with a friend who's going to pay for themselves. Like, and it's, okay, it's only $300. But if it's like you and your girlfriend or your wife or something, then that's when it becomes expensive.
Yeah, I guess I've just mentally written it off. Like if the Lions go to the Super Bowl, I'm not going to the Super Bowl. So like I've just, that's not an option for me. So like I've just let it go. So yeah, maybe, who knows? Hopefully I do run into that dilemma at some point. But anyway, let's get to the topic at hand. Episode 4. And hey, you're probably noticing, hey, this came out a little earlier than the previous three pods. And guess what? That's because we did it. We got the screeners. It only took me 2 months, but we tracked it down. So hopefully we get more of this going forward. Right now we only have the first four. So who knows?
I think
if
it's
we get
because we talked so highly of the episode Out of Bounds, which was the Coach Classic episode 3. I think it's because we were so high on that. Disney was like, you know what? They're never going to say anything bad about this show. Let's give them the screeners. Well, I think they're about to regret that because I was not a big fan of this episode.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I thought this was much better than the last episode. So interesting. Let's get into it. Episode 4, draft day. You will get my comments and Tommy's comments. As I mentioned, Kevin gone. He was supposed to send us notes. He ended up not sending us notes, so we'll just have to guess what he does. But yeah, I guess opening impressions for you, Tommy. I'm interested to hear your just initial thoughts.
I thought it was a weaker episode than the last one. There were certain parts of it that were, for me, a little bit jarring, and I think the whole Evan-Sophie kind of ending there, the way it happened, again, it's like, just didn't seem fleshed out, and it just kind of like, hey, let's get some kind of good B plot going for the rest of the season or whatever. Let's break them up now. We definitely, or I should say, I definitely predicted it, kind of like the necklace playing a role in it. I would have been a little bit more subtle. But again, it's, you know, 21, 22 minute episodes. You don't have time to really have this long, you know, lengthy scenes of no dialogue, that kind of thing, where you have a lot of, you know, exposition by these characters explaining what they're doing. And so, yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. I thought it dragged it down. The parts of it I did like, you know, it wasn't a stinker or anything like that. I liked Nick in this episode. The draft is interesting. I had notes, but unfortunately I brought my notes with me to work and then I left them at work. And so I don't have all like the team names in front of me. And I was like, oh, that's not bad. But it's just like, okay, we're the Mighty Ducks, blah, blah, blah. But there's a couple of like little things that I know people are gonna be like, dude, who fucking cares, that just like bugged me a little bit, that we'll get to kind of over the course of this episode as we talk about it. But yeah, it's like some things I liked, but again, this was not like, it was just wasn't as good as the last episode. So 5.5 or 6 out of 10 maybe for me.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I enjoyed the, you know, the hijinks. I didn't think it was a great episode. Like, I wouldn't say it's like, oh, one of my favorite episodes of the series, but I thought it was good. I enjoyed Nick and Alex sort of trading around. I enjoyed Nick and Lawrence there. Yeah, Evan and Sophie, obviously a little cringy, but yeah, all credit to Tommy talking about the pizza necklace last week. We get the payoff this week. And then, yeah, the draft was good. Yeah, I do have some issues with the draft as well and the way things went down, but enjoyed the coaches. I thought Coach Toby was great. He had a great reaction when he was like the number two pick or whatever. And then, yeah, trying to get a date with Alex and whatnot, kind of being creepy. I enjoyed him. I enjoyed the other coaches, Coach Don. And the, I think there's a Coach Mitch, and then there's the loner guy. I don't remember his name, but I thought they were nice just to get a little switch up. Yeah, not obviously no hockey, which was a bit of a downer, but I think they're setting it up for some big hockey. But yeah, I thought it was good, but not, you know, in the upper echelons. And I thought the last episode was, you know, average, which, by the way, a lot of people agreed with both sides. Some said they loved the last episode. Some people thought it was terrible. So yeah, how did you, first of all, let's go to Nick and Lawrence and sort of that whole switch up.
Yeah. And so I actually like that. I thought that was a really kind of cool, like little, like good way to get some gags in there. Mm-hmm. But it was like, they should have been building this up over the season. Like we got some of the whole, like, that's my roommate, blah, blah, blah. You know, we could have gotten more of the best player in camp, worst player in camp, you know, Lawrence bullying him a little bit, or maybe teasing something like that. It was interesting, him just drinking Kool-Aid. I assume that was Kool-Aid is what he was drinking. It's like, I like that. Again, it's like, there doesn't seem to be as many of these things going along, you know, episode to episode. Same thing with like Toby. It's like, if he's like, I want to date with you, Alex, it's like, why wasn't, like, where was that referenced, you know, somewhere else in the in the season? You know, it's, we needed something like that. Now, again, I know these episodes are very tight. You don't have time for like a long dramatic Sophie hiding the pizza necklace under her blouse scene, like I would have liked, you know. But yeah, I like the Nick and Lawrence subplot, and, you know, I guess his line about being, oh, number two pick, now I've got a chip on my shoulder. Like, that was good.
Yeah. There was a moment, which I'm pretty sure was a heavyweights reference, when they first are talking about it, and AJ brings like the wrong thing. I don't remember the exact moment, but Nick says, this displeases me. And I was like, is that a nod? Yes.
I thought about that, because of course Josh in Heavyweights, played by Sean Weiss, as we all know as Goldberg, he says, this pleases me, right, in reference to something that Kenan Thompson's character says. They're talking about the attractive nurse in Heavyweights. So yeah, I did think about that, and it's like, are we going to credit that as like a Heavyweights reference? You know, I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
I would agree. I'd like, because I was like, oh, that's like a weird line, and then I was like, wait a minute, that's from Heavyweights. So I'm counting that. I think that's a win for us when it comes to the bold predictions there. Yeah, so we get that, and yeah, that was fun how, you know, it all stopped. So I nothing really happened in that. It didn't push the plot forward at all, but I enjoyed those moments throughout. You got Marnie again at the beginning. I thought Marnie had some good screen time with the beginning. You know, you're going to be crushed. It'll be hard to watch. And then when she's at the end, when Evan and Sophie almost get caught, and she was like, oh, Sector 7 clear. So enjoyed her. And then you have, obviously, Nick and Alex trading up for the spots. How did you feel about how that all, you know, played out?
So the trading, I was like, okay, this is good. And they can go for something. It was like, she's going to get all the way to number two or something like that. And then she gets to number one. And so I guess her logic was sound, because I guess during the draft itself, it was like, Coach Cole got the number one. He should have been like, hey, like everyone is like 1 through 8, but I always take the 8th spot. Should have been, I like, whatever. Again, plot device. But the way she was trading up, I guess I liked it. My my line of the episode, which we'll get to at the end, was during kind of like the trade sequences. So we'll get that. The listeners at home can start to reflect on what they think my favorite line was. But yeah, got more Marnie. I like kind of Nick being the analytics guru. Plays way too many fantasy sports, he said. I like that. And you know, I guess her getting the number one overall pick and then picking Nick, it's, you know, good message, I suppose. But it was, yeah. I did like how Cole was just like, you're fucking up the camp. It's
yeah.
Like, this is not about, and I think one of the Quackalites in the Discord had a good line. It's like, they knew what they were getting into. It's like, this is an elite camp. That's what it's for. It's not for like, you know, participation. Now, just say it gets to like show up and everything like that, especially if you know you're outmatched. But again, like Cole says, like, you're mocking this camp. You're essentially like, you're not doing this in good faith or whatever he says. And
yeah that's been, I think, the biggest criticism of Alex, especially, is like, okay, you wanted these kids to go to camp and have fun, but also like learn how to get good in hockey. And you know, the hate I think that sort of Evan is getting for just wanting to participate in the camp, like, I think that those are some great points made on the Discord. And like, it really stuck with me with Alex this episode, because yeah, I thought like all the trading was fun and getting a little more interaction with the other coaches, but then it's like, okay, are you trying to win the camp? Like, she's like, oh, I'm gonna take you down, coach. And then it's like, are you trying to win or are you not? Because like, you trade up and then you pick Nick, and I guess it's like to show a message that like, I guess you don't have to be the best athlete to still be a winner in life. But then she's all like talking trash to Cole. And then the thing, and I didn't know if this was a reference to Evan, but when she's like, you know, ducks fly together, mostly 80%, when he was like, you really believe that? Like, is that just a reference to like Evan not being on the team? Or is that like her making a joke about how she didn't really believe it?
I think it might've been a reference to Evan not being on the team. And
okay,
I guess, well, first of all, if I was the worst player at that camp, I would be mortified if I was taking number one overall.
Right.
As like a, you know, let's give the, you know, the stupid kid his like time to shine. This kid who's so unathletic, we're going to pick him one overall. It's like, and everyone's there staring at you. It's like, oh my, like, just kill me. You know, yeah. I wouldn't want to do that. But I guess Nick was really touched by it. So all's well that ends well. But I guess that's Alex's forte. She's like, this is supposed to be fun. Summer camp is supposed to be fun. You know, that's her shtick. I thought she was going to pick Evan, but I'm glad that she didn't. And I'm also glad that Coach Cole picked Evan.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if the ducks fly together thing was like just kind of a joke that like sort of goes against her whole, you know, identity up to this point, where it's like, oh, we're going to stick together and have fun and not worry about like individual rankings. So I'm hoping it was a reference to Evan, where Evan sort of, you know, switched sides to.
Who knows, how did you how did you feel about like Jace going to the Ducks and Evan going to Team Dominate? Is that what they were called?
Yeah,
like, I guess we all kind of saw that coming. But I think, and again, this episode kind of essentially like clears the table. It's like, okay,
right?
You know, Evan, Sophie broken up. These are the teams. This is like, we kind of have a clean slate to do what we want the rest of the season without like something holding us back. So, Mike, what do you think about that?
I liked how it played out where Evan, you know, came up to Alex and was just like, don't pick me. And she was like, okay, like I'm trying to, you know, and I liked Cole being the good father and like Jason's like, no, don't pick me. And he and it comes around at the end where Cole's like, that was the hardest thing in the world. And he's like, thanks, Dad. Like you get a sense of like, yeah, Cole's putting a lot of pressure on this kid who doesn't want to be there, but he's also trying and he's trying to be a good father and like do what's best, but maybe he's making some mistakes. So I like, again, Josh Duhamel, great. The character Cole, I like. He's a little complicated. It's not like a one-dimensional relationship with the son, which I feel like sometimes is Alex and Evan, where Alex is like, oh, pull back and have fun. And Evan's like, no, I want to do this. And it's like that constant battle over and over again. So I like that more. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Like I'm going to enjoy when Evan has to play the Mighty Ducks, assuming he does. And I'm going to enjoy, you know, Cole watching Jace, you know, we assume figure out his hitch and his shot and get better and all that kind of stuff. So to your point, yeah, I think it clears the state and it could go, you know, a couple different ways and it's going to be fun to watch. So I liked it. I liked the way they did it and the way it all played out. I do have some questions about like the draft.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. So yeah. First, 88 players in camp.
Right.
Eight teams, 11 players per team. Are there 11 players in that Mighty Ducks team?
No, that's a great point. There's only seven. And then Evan is, I think, a seventh round pick for Cole because he goes right before Alex picks Jace. So he was like a sixth or a seventh round pick. So,
and they did pick like a couple of sleepers, right? Like we're going to get like two, like, it's like, oh, I picked this person because, you know, here's this weird stat about them and they'll like score a goal the next game, make them win. So it seems like, all right, so Evan and Jace are like for like trades. So that's seven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have two sleepers. Are there two more kids that they're just going to throw on the team?
Yeah, that's a great point. So yeah, we see them pick Cody and we see them pick Gertie. Like it's literally like 3 seconds of Alex announcing their names. We don't know anything about them yet, which I'm fine with. Like we'll learn about them going forward.
Maybe it would be great if like the checkmates show up and they're just like, you guys are at this camp? It's like, yeah, we've been here the whole time. And they're just on this. That would be a nice little like, yeah, okay, you got us.
That would be good. Yeah, there's, you know, a bit of a don't bothers reference there when Evan and, you know, Sophie were talking. But yeah, what happened to those other kids? Do they just not get picked? Are they on, you have 88 kids and it looked like it was, you know, seven kids a team. Yeah, what's that? Seven kids, eight teams. You're 56 players, so you still have a ton of players left to do it. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know the math works out there, but
another beef, and this is gonna be the me acting like a prick moment. So the end of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, not the end draft, the lottery, where Alex is eighth. She is clearly handed by Marnie a ball that has Jackie's name on it.
Oh,
clearly says Jackie on it. And yet, in the next scene, when Alex is looking at the ball reflecting, it clearly says Alex. Are we supposed to believe that this is some kind of magic ping pong ball that changes names, whoever touched it last? I mean, I really hope someone got fired for that blunder.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a Simpsons reference there. But it is like, and I took photos of those, Mike, that I'll text to you.
Okay.
But like, to me, that was like a, did no one fucking realize that? You know, now you could say like, oh, well, Alex was the last second coach, that, so they didn't have her name on there or something, like, you know, it's like, no, they did have one that said Alex. To me, that was just like, you couldn't pick up the right ping pong ball that said Alex on it to hand to Alex.
But I
just texted those to Mike. Again, filmmaking is very hard. Good filmmaking is very hard. And, you know, it's not something I could probably ever do. But I do like to think that I get people's names right. Isn't that right, Mark?
Nice. Well done. Yeah, I did notice like the last ping pong ball like in the hopper was Alex. But yeah, then it like, you know, they do the thing where it comes out and obviously Tommy has been paying attention. There was somebody pointed out in the last episode, there's like a scene in the background of the players celebrating when it's like showing a tie or they're losing or something. So there's some Easter eggs to find as we go through with this. Tommy?
Another Easter egg while we're on that subject is we found out who drafted Coach Cole.
Yes.
Buffalo Sabres. And is Brill from New York State?
Good question. I don't remember.
I feel like he was like a Sabres fan, and that's why he's from Utica. So, yeah, he's a Sabres fan.
There you go.
And so that's a nice little nod to him, I'm sure. I don't know Kathy Espa, Josh Goldsmith, where they're from originally. Because I think they wrote this episode. So I'm going to be very critical of one of their lines here in a little bit. But if they're also Sabres fans, that's nice. Because you get to we hypothesized that maybe he had played for the Stars or something because of the jersey that we saw. But totally different colors for the Sabres. But
yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was drafted by the Sabres and traded to the Stars. There's a lot that could happen there.
Talk shit about Buffalo. So, and I guess there was that Buffalo Wings episode in season one.
That's true.
So,
yeah,
maybe we'll get a Cole Beasley reference here or something like that. Get a nice, maybe Jim Kelly will be in the next episode. I don't know.
That would be nice. That would be nice. I mean, Rich Eisen randomly showed up. So, there's hope. There's hope. So, yeah, we've talked about.
Maybe Dominic Hasek will be in the next episode. That'd be great, right?
That would be great. That would be great. Yeah, we've talked about Nick and Lawrence. We talked about Nick and Alex trading. I will say, they brought up, like, oh, the Nick is going to be the, you know, analytics and that kind of stuff. And it was mostly just about trading up for the best pick. It wasn't about, like, identifying these. It wasn't like, oh, this kid has a sweet shot but can't skate or something, but he'll still be valuable if you do this. Or so I was a little disappointed that Nick didn't go super far into the money puck type deal, which is something.
It would have been great if he was just like, I did all this research and you drafted fucking Sam or something like that.
That's
like, why
a great
are you
point.
Reaching for Sam? Or he should have been like, why are you reaching for me in the first round? I'm eighth round at best, you know?
Yeah. And I guess to bring that other point up, I mean, Sophie was a fifth round pick. So I guess she wasn't really trying in this camp and has sort of been, you know, doing her PSAT prep book or whatever. But
if there are 11 rounds like they're supposed to be, then that's a top 40 pick.
Okay, that's fair.
And also a question. So because Alex, she had the last pick in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what it seemed like. So
unless
did she only trade
people.
The yeah. first overall, like the first round picks when she was doing her trading?
That's what it seemed like. That's what it seemed like. I did wonder that because like I was like, are they doing like some sort of snake or something like that?
I imagine it'd be a snake draft. And even if you did, if you had the number one overall pick, you get the last overall pick. Or no, sorry, you get the 81st overall pick in the 11th round. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have 80, 81. And if you're picking eighth, then you have 88. So
I don't know.
Again, you know, Nick, easily throw a line in there for Nick being like the fantasy sports guru, you know, let's get a line in there.
Yeah. All right. So yeah. Anything else on that or the draft day before we really talk about, you know, Evan and Sophie here?
We can go on. I'm sure Disney's currently revoking our access for the next episode.
All right. So yeah, Evan and Sophie, obviously then you had sort of a, I don't know if it was a side plot or whatever, where it was like Coop and Sam and Maya, sort of the three musketeers again. And it's like, oh, Christmas is going to suck and doing it for the kids. I thought there were some good lines there. As I mentioned at the top, like this is my first friend group ever. And yeah, Evan and Sophie having that conversation, Evan's like classic staying together for the kids or something like that. So I like that. But how did you feel about how it all, you know, just played out? Them
agree that I kind of liked the three musketeers, you know, being you know, the Greek chorus here, just kind of like, hey, this is gonna make things awkward on us and the friend group. You know, and yeah, and then Christmas sucks. Although you get two Christmases a lot of times, and then your dad tries to buy your love, really. So I think that should have been the line they went through. It's like, hey, two Christmases might not be so bad. And then Coog would be like, maybe they'll both take us out to lunch or something like that. And then Sam says, yeah, like double servings of avocado pudding or whatever the fuck they had. So there you go. Another line to throw in there. Mm-hmm. I'd say they're setting it all up. And then you have this really weird sequence. Evan going to sneak out. And I'm thinking, oh, are we going to get like a dorm hygiene? Is he going to see something he's not supposed to? Right before that, because I do want to give a lot of credit to Sam saying like, oh, I sneak out every night between 1 and 3. That's between me and the night or whatever. That's I thought great. That was really good. Was I liked great. That a lot. That was strong. But then Evan's like sneaking around these pillars and then Sophie's just fucking in the common room watching TV. And there's no like, you know, womp, like, oh, this is a joke. You know, it was just like, okay, you know, and they leave. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the worst part of the episode, in my opinion, Evan goes, is that a bear? It's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, nothing looks like a bear at all. It's like, did you want to just like end this date? Is that why you're trying to do it? Where's like the setup being like, I need to like find a way to cut this short because I'm so worried about like getting to sleep on time, you know? Or there's no kind of thing early in the episode referencing like, oh, I hear there's bears out here in these woods or whatever, you know? And I guess you could say, oh, that's another Heavyweights reference because they talk about bears in the woods. But that's my last gripe with this. This episode is like, where the fuck did that come from? It's like, you had to have been able to workshop something a little bit better. Now, I understand shooting was difficult. You had to come up with something. Mm-hmm. But maybe there was a cut scene where there was a fucking bear walking through campus. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Evan was, you know, trying to make a joke or whatever. But, like, if you're sort of nervous about sneaking out, like, you're not going to just yell, you know, is that a bear? Yeah. Yeah, and you're on, like, a campus with no bear sightings around. Yeah. They could have done that better. Evan sneaking around with like Sophie sitting on the couch. I thought it was kind of funny. I didn't mind it. And then he just stood up from the couch and he's like, you ready? And he's like, let's go. Again, Marnie, I enjoyed when she was like, we are all clear on Area 7. No troublemakers, no shenanigans. So yeah, I didn't mind it. It came to a head with like Evan and Sophie, but like, then Evan says, oh, I see you doing your PSAT prep book. So it's like, is Sophie in or is she out? Like, I don't understand.
I did like her joke. I said, only the math. Thought the delivery could have been better, but that was, again, I think the delivery wasn't great in a lot of these lines.
Yeah. It was more for me like, is Sophie out or is she in? Is she burned out and not doing it? Or is she, you know, still doing that PSAT prep book and still sort of feeling the pressure to perform or whatever, because it seems like she's swung all the way the other way where she's like, I don't care. I'm doing me now. So whatever. That was what I took issue with. And then how did you feel about the whole thing where they're like, we'll meet on the ice at 7 a.m. and then, you know, Sophie doesn't show and all that good stuff.
Yeah. That was another kind of weird thing. And like, hey, I missed you. It's like, oh, sorry. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, they just sort of gloss over it. I'm not sure what drill they were doing. It looked like they were just, you know, they were skidding around in circles, stick handling through cones, and like, you're really going to get your, you know, raid up or whatever by just, you know, sort of gliding around the ice and not skating hard. But tis what it is. I'm okay with it. I'll accept it. Let me see. Anything else that stuck out to you before we go to our awards?
No, I think I'm ready for the awards.
Yeah, I am looking through my notes. I don't think I have anything else. Just to reiterate, I thought the Sam line was great. That was the best line Sam's given in 2 seasons, where he, you know, talked about sneaking out and, you know, that's between me and the night. So honorable mention to Sam there, but let's take a short break and move on to the awards at hand. We are back. We have our episode 4. Awards, our MVP, our LVP, and our quote. Let's go to MVP first. Tommy, your MVP.
My MVP is going to be Nick. He's the number one overall pick. He earned it, clearly not on the ice, but with his scouting, I really liked. I liked the binder that he had, all the color coordinated notes. I really appreciated his meticulousness there. I thought Nick was great. We didn't get a lot of Nick in the last episode. I was a little bit down on the whole, like, him running away part, but here, this is good. Thought he kind of hit his stride. All of his lines were delivered pretty well. When he and Alex kind of spend time together, it's good. They have good chemistry, I feel like, on the screen. I'm giving it to Nick. I liked it. I think we've given Alex a lot of shit. I thought she was pretty good in this episode. Kind of with the whole trading thing. Nick is my MVP.
That's a good point. Good pick. I could get behind it. I gave it to Evan, and I think it was more because I've been wanting Evan. I think Alex Vlahos talked about it. It was like he seemed like less of like a leading man in season two. In that first episode, I wanted Evan to, sort of break out and be the leader. And I think he finally was able to get his point across, which is some people have taken issue with, that this is, an elite camp. He's just into the camp. He wants to get the most out of the camp. And I think that came across in this episode. I thought he had a couple lines, as I mentioned, staying together for the kids, classic. So that would be my pick. But if we're trying to get a consensus or unanimous MVP, I'm fine with going with Nick. I thought he was great with the trading, had some good jokes. And yeah, you're talking about him running away. I do feel like they could have gotten rid of that part and gotten the draft earlier. I feel like the draft came in episode 4. Like if it came in episode 2 or 3, I think the whole season could have been a little smoother just to get rid of some of that preamble. But
I guess you kind of have to find a way to get Evan and Sophie broken up and on different teams at the same time without then having to be like, you could have done, we're still on the same team, or like we're on opposite teams. No, we'll still see each other. And then Sophie develops a relationship potentially with Jace. And then actually you probably hate Sophie for like going behind Evan's back. So this way she's free to maybe like explore a relationship with Jace, and the fans aren't like, oh wow, like what a bitch, not that you'd say that about a 12-year-old. You don't want to, kind of treat her unfairly. So I understand why the draft was a little bit late, 'cause you don't want to break them up right away. I see your point. Yeah. Looking back, I think we'll be like, yeah, the draft was kind of late, wasn't it?
Let's move on to LVP. I had a hard time with LVP. As I mentioned, I liked this episode. There's no one who really stuck out to me as, lacking. I ended up giving it to Alex just because I felt like she was, I didn't have an issue with her, hijinks, trading up or something. I just felt like she was inconsistent. Like she was like, I'm going to beat Coach Cole. I'm going to do everything I can to beat Coach Cole and shove it up his ass. And then she was like, no, I'm going to draft Nick first round, Coop second round, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, are you trying to win and prove your point to Coach Cole that you can, handle this team? Or are you, trying to just make people feel better? And obviously it's going to turn into, I know, they're going to come together and there's going to be something, but like in the moment you got to try to win. If you say you're going to, beat Coach Cole and talk all this game. So I didn't like that. So reluctantly giving it to Alex, but Tommy, who is your LVP of the episode?
I think you made some good points. I've been dogging in this episode obviously, but I didn't think there was like a true LVP. Like Mike said, I thought everyone was pretty good. I thought even, guys who didn't have a lot of screen time or not a lot of words, like Sam or Jace, I was like, oh, it was good. I actually was kind of like leaning toward Evan because of the whole is that a bear shtick. I just really hated that. But I think you bring up a good point of what Alex, who's clearly the best, most seasoned actor we've had on this podcast, at least currently. I guess Evan did kind of take charge. I'm actually might give it to Sophie. I didn't think her reactions were very good in this episode. Like everything, like all of her reactions, like to something like Evan might say, it was kind of like a side eye shrug. Right. Like really, I'm like, okay, it's like, come on, let's, yell at Evan or something, I guess I did like the line they had. It's like, we'll always have the pizza place or whatever, but again, and like an episode where I wasn't in love with, I did think everyone was pretty good with the exception of obviously the bungled Marnie giving the wrong ball to Alex. So maybe I have to give it to Marnie for fucking that up. Because clearly Alex said like, hey, this is the wrong ball. I need the right one. I don't know. It's tough. you know, I guess if I want to give it to one of the main characters, it'd be Sophie, but maybe it really should be Marnie for that that botched ball exchange.
No, I like the Sophie pick. To your point, I think Evan, as I mentioned, had some good lines. He sort of got his point across, and like I'm still unsure of what's happening with like Sophie. Like, is she feeling the pressure still, and like still on that path of like overachiever by, you know, doing that PSAT prep book, even though it's the math, or is she, you know, completely doing her own thing and, you know, gonna help out Jace and that kind of stuff? And yeah, I wanted more for her. So I'm okay with Sophie and taking the LVP there. But again, yeah, it's not, I don't really feel great about giving anybody an LVP in this episode, but we'll give it to Sophie. Your quote of the episode, Tommy.
And unfortunately I had this written down in my, again, the notebook that I left at work, is from Coach Jackie when they're talking about her going to like the, I guess the speed dating thing, whatever, on the Thursday. Said, I'm really just looking to hook up. I was like, oh, you know, okay, there we go. And so that was my line of the episode. It caught me off guard. We've had a couple of kind of like innuendo-y, like one-liners right here. So I like that for Jackie. And, you know, it's like, okay, you know, respect. That was good. So yeah, that was my line of the episode. Of course, the runner-up is Sam saying, you know, that's between me and the night.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, again, also caught me off guard. I like Nick's sort of reaction to it, and I was like, okay, I think it was, I'm just like, no hookup, but I see your point when, you know, Nick was talking about, oh, this could be the person you marry. Do you really care about whether you have the seventh or the eighth pick? So that was a good one.
That was, and again, I think that kind of reinforces my Nick for MVP. It's like, that is like a really good point. It's like, are you going to think back to a seventh or eighth? It's like who gives a shit, you know? Right. And I guess I'm trying to remember who said it, but it's like someone said, like, you know, men being intimidated by like in shape women. I don't know if that was like Nick or Jackie, mm-hmm. but that was also like a good part of that. I was like, that actually like makes a lot of sense too. But I'm sure she could find someone who wants to be like beaten up a little bit.
Yeah, I think
maybe that was... maybe Toby. Like I could see maybe like, yeah, like Toby looks like he wants someone to slap him around a bit.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that was Nick explaining to Alex, you know, why this mixer was such a big deal to Jackie, I believe.
And one other go back to Toby, it's like he definitely looks like a Jason Schwartzman stand-in, right?
Oh, like, yeah, I could see that.
It's like, definitely. So we'll see if he ever gets mistaken for him on the street. You know, we'll try to get him on the pod one day, and we'll ask him if he likes some, you know, large dominant, not large, like strong, you know, dominant women.
Yeah,
or men, whichever.
My quote, really, just because I was so excited when I put it all together, was "this displeases me," just because for the heavyweights reference. Again, the Sam one for me was also number two. So we might have to leave this one up to the Quacklights, or text Kevin or something to get the quote of the episode, to get a true quote of the episode. But there are some decent ones in this episode. So we'll leave it up to you. Anything else, Tommy, on this episode as we, you know, approach the halfway point of the season here?
I think another thing, going back, and just because you mentioned the displeases me, this displeases me. Like the kind of exchange between AJ and Nick at the beginning when he's holding that, like he's like awkwardly holding that picture there in front of him for a long time. It's like, you got to cut that time down. You could have saved some time to get some better, you know, is that a bear writing in there? And I think what you could have done is really have Nick be like, hey, I'm not falling for that trick again where you like, you know, you put blood in my drink or something, like, not blood, but, you know, give me more than 10 seconds. I could come up with something. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm hoping the next episode is better. And the next episode is called Icing on the Cake. And so I'm hoping we're going to get a cake eater reference in there.
Ooh.
Or at least something very meta where someone's like, cake eater. And someone's like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, of course I like cake, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that would be, yeah. I don't really have a good feel for icing on the cake. You would assume it's some sort of, you know, we're getting into the tournament now. So I'm hoping.
Do we know the format? Is it round robin?
We do not, which is a good point. Like, I would assume, if I had to guess, yeah, I'd say they do like maybe they split into four team pods of round robin, and then the top two go to the semifinals for knockout or something like that.
But I think what they should probably have is you do You do a round robin, or maybe like a double round robin, where you play each team twice over 2 weeks, and you play two games a day. And then from there, you take like the top four overall teams. And maybe they advance to the winner's bracket, and then like 5 through 8, the loser's bracket. I don't know. But yeah, I think maybe a round robin and then do 1 versus 8 after that in like a bracket might work. But it'll be really interesting to see how they do this, because, you know, we've talked extensively, you know, over 300 episodes on a Mighty Ducks podcast about every format there is. And so if this format isn't amazing, we're going to come back and give it shit. Because I think in season 1, there was like a couple of good throwaway lines about like a format. And we're just like, okay, we give them like props for explaining it well. Or just giving one line that said like, oh, this is blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, okay, cool. Yes, we're in.
Yeah. Stephanie explained, you know, you got to win the league to go to states. And there's a certain amount of people in states and all that. And they're or the top two teams go to states. And then, they explained it there where, this is, you know, sort of, it's not like a league, so they have a little more leeway. But yeah, I would like some sort of format and not just a, you know, team dominates playing the Mighty Ducks in the finals and we don't know how to get there. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for Evan to play the Mighty Ducks. Like, I feel like they have to give us that, whether it's, you know, episode 5 or later on. I feel like they have to give us Evan playing against his old team and his mom and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm looking forward to for us, thequackdeck.com. Go there, contact us at quackdeckpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quackdeckpod. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell us what you thought of this episode. Tell us your quote of the episode. Thanks to all our producers. We appreciate you. Uche, still the most recent producer. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. Quack, quack.